This is Ozarks at Large. The first week of the Arkansas 89th General Assembly is over, and we're through the middle of the second week as more bills are filed by members of the Senate and House. At the conclusion of last week's business, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business sat down with two legislators to discuss what's ahead for the legislature. Roby talked to David Sanders, a Republican member of the Senate from Little Rock, and Warwick Sabin, a Democratic member of the House, also from Little Rock. The conversation included talk about Medicaid expansion, the death penalty, taxes, and ethics. Warwick Sabin is in his first term in the House, and David Sanders is in his first term in the Senate, though he did serve one term previously in the House. Roby began the discussion by asking Senator Sanders what might be different for this legislative agenda since the GOP is in control at the Capitol.
Well, I mean, for instance, if you go back to the debate over taxes in the last legislative session back in 2011, I mean, what you had were Republicans and Democrats working together to pass tax cuts, really more than what the administration had asked for, but they did it in an agreeable way. Both chambers got together, both parties got together, and they worked out an agreement. So I think, look, it is different in Arkansas. The truth is, Warwick and I have known each other since, gosh, we were college age.
That's right.
We worked together. There are other members in both chambers that we've known for a long time. There's a bit of a trust quotient there, I think, that really enters into the debate, and I think it will pay off huge dividends on down.
Well, and especially in the House, we have a lot of members that are in the age range of David and I, in our 30s, and we haven't known a different sort of situation as to what we have now. The margin is very close, especially in the House. It's only 51-49. I think Speaker Carter was elected with an awful lot of Democratic support, even though he's a Republican. And he even appointed Democratic chairman of certain committees. And on certain committees, the Democrats have the majority, like on House Public Health. And so we're going to have to work together, whether we like it or not. I think in this case, we want to work together. We want to avoid some of the problems that are happening in Washington, D.C. And I think that, you know, in order for us to govern effectively, especially in partnership with Governor Beebe, we're going to have to work together. So that's the spirit that we're entering.
Speaking of Governor Beebe, I think we'll go through some of the details of his State of the State address here in a little bit, but he made a really interesting day after public announcement on the death penalty. Basically said that if the legislature sent him a bill, he would repeal capital punishment. Do either of you see this happening?
Well, no. I mean, obviously the death penalty is on the policy agenda for the legislature as a result of the Supreme Court case that struck it down. I don't think any of us really anticipated that the governor would say that. I will say this. You've worked for a governor. I've worked for a governor. You know, there's one issue that all governors say is the toughest part of the job, and that is signing the death warrant. It's very hard. I think we will deal with the death penalty in this legislative session. I tend to think that we will come out with legislation reinstating the death penalty. But it was a sort of an interesting twist in the policy debate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Supreme Court has, you know, forced the legislature to get involved on this issue. I think that Governor Beebe certainly issued an invitation for us to consider the merits of the death penalty. Whether or not, you know, both chambers would come to an agreement that we would get rid of it, it's probably unlikely. But certainly you have to take the governor, you know, at face value with his remarks. He did say that signing death warrants was the toughest part of his job. And we haven't had any death penalties enacted during the entirety of his tenure so far.
Well,
so
a little over 6 years.
That's right.
He has not presided over a single execution.
That's right.
Although I think he signed four warrants. They've
that's
just
right.
been delayed. Let me hear what you guys kind of have on your own personal agendas for this legislative session. Constituents' agendas, your agendas, things you want to see accomplished. David, I'll let you start first. What's on the agenda for you?
You know, Warren, if you look at my committee assignments, I'm a member of Revenue and Tax on the Senate side, also Agri, Economic Development as well. So I think a lot of my work will focus on the tax debate as, you know, the nature of my committee assignment and my interests. But obviously the Medicaid issue is coming up before us. I mean, we've had a Medicaid system that is effectively broken and has been running in the red, and we've gotten some good news, obviously, about that immediate shortfall. But I think we are going to focus, obviously, on the expansion debate, but I think there will be a significant amount of focus on the issue of Medicaid and what we have now, making sure that it works. I'll be involved in that as well and look forward to it.
And parole issues?
Parole issues, you know, when I was in the House, I worked on ethics reform, some cooling off period issues, and I think I'll continue to work on some of that.
All right, Warwick, what's on your calendar?
Well, I'm sponsoring a bill in the House on campaign finance reform, and so I'm also working on ethics issues, and I'm sure we'll be engaged on education and taxes and a whole range of issues. But you know, again, Medicaid expansion is really, you know, at the top of my agenda as far as making sure that we work toward that, and I convince my colleagues of its merits. I've seen the numbers, and I think it's a good thing for Arkansas. And then I'm also looking forward to seeing the governor's energy plan, because I think there are a lot of issues within that that are going to affect our economy, our environment, and the future of our state.
All right, gentlemen, let's talk about Medicaid. Big debate. It is going to consume this legislative session's agenda. In large part, it's going to control a lot of the budget decisions that you have to make. Let's start first with the shortfall, the funding gap. What is the number now? Does anybody even know what we're talking about dollar-wise?
Well, it has been adjusted. I think the numbers that we had been working with were around $138 million, and that was taking the governor. It was actually in the governor's budget, his proposal. So that was the shortfall that was in the governor's budget. Interesting, last week, actually, Speaker Carter and Senator Lamoureux came out and said, hey, look, you know, from our standpoint, we're going to cover the shortfall. And we can do that because we have a revenue surplus. Mm-hmm. And there are maybe some other things that we can do in terms of the budget. So I think that realistically is off the table. You know, we've covered that. So I think that gives us freedom to work. Previously, you know, the governor had sort of coupled the idea of the shortfall and expansion together. Those have been decoupled. So it gives us a little breathing room, which I know I'm certainly happy about, and I'm sure Arkansans are happy about.
Well, and I think that there were some revised numbers this week that the gap may be lower.
Yeah, they revised it, or has shrunk.
Well, one thing we can agree on, I mean, this is a long-term problem, and we have an inefficient system. And one of the reasons why I'm supporting Medicaid expansion is because, you know, we're going to insure more people through that expansion that will, you know, cut down on some of these inefficiencies, people who aren't showing up at emergency rooms for primary care. We're also going to be building in, you know, the medical homes and some of the other reforms that the governor's office has proposed. And, you know, we're looking at more money obviously coming in from the federal government. I mean, they're fully funding it 100% for the first few years, and then eventually the state share, you know, is no more than 10%, which is not insignificant, but I think that it's certainly doable with these efficiencies and, again, with the, you know, economic multipliers that happen when you expand Medicaid. And then on the flip side, you know, if you don't expand Medicaid, what you're looking at is a pretty unsustainable system. You have the risk of rural hospitals closing. You have more uninsured. You don't have the money circulating in the economy and that economic impact that happens. And so to me, you know, once you've really studied the numbers and the impacts that are involved, it becomes a no-brainer. And I don't say that to minimize the importance of the debate, but I think to reject an offer like that and for Arkansas to be basically contributing to a system to pay for the health care of people in New York and California and Michigan ultimately makes no sense.
There's a contrary opinion to that.
Well, yes. I mean, and there is. And the fact is, we have to look at the system in its totality. The fact is, today what we have is broken. The idea of putting an additional 250 or as much as 300 or maybe 320,000 people on it, depending on what our sister states do around us, you know, that is not a recipe for sustainability. So I think the focus that we have to have, one, is a slow, deliberate debate, not dragging your feet, but one where you are truly looking at the numbers and truly looking at the long-term impacts. I'll give you an example. One of the things that we saw in the previous legislative session was that the state insurance department and the administration was telling us to jump off, go on board with a state-run exchange. And we didn't. We said, hey, this may not be the best thing for the citizens of Arkansas. 17 other states actually did that. You look at what's happening in Minnesota and in Maryland and some of the other states that formed a state-run exchange, the law says that it has to be self-sustaining by 2015. So that means those taxpayers in those particular states are responsible for it. They're now figuring out how to raise taxes to pay for their exchanges. So I think the best thing that we can do is have a very deliberate debate, really look at all the far-reaching implications. Are all the numbers that we are looking at real? Look what's happened this week even. You know, one of the things that we signaled that we would really be interested in is maybe looking at something less than full expansion. Mm-hmm. And we were told, no, it's not possible. But what time has brought us is the possibility, maybe the glimmer of hope, something that we could customize in Arkansas that makes more sense.
Yep. Well, what I do worry about is when we start doubting numbers that are coming from experts, I do think we run the risk of bringing to Arkansas a lot of the dysfunction that's happening in Washington, D.C. I mean, we've seen a study come forward by the RAND Corporation. You know, I've, again, you know, met with our Medicaid director, Andy Allison, our Surgeon General, Joe Thompson. You know, I think that the numbers that have been put forward are, you know, fairly conservative. And I do think the debate is important. Obviously, that's why we're in session. And I think that the deliberation, though, has to occur on the basis of facts and numbers, and not so much the ideology or wanting to deny the numbers that exist because it conflicts with your preconceived notion.
Yeah, and I agree with that. So, I mean, the point is what we have to do is we have to make sure we are arguing over the same set of numbers.
Because
today we're not. I mean, the other thing is that we've seen is, a few weeks ago, the revenue shortfall was more significant than it is today. Numbers change, things change, and a lot of the aspects of the health care bill, quite frankly, haven't been worked out in terms of the IT backbone, the infrastructure. So there are a lot of things that we're being asked to do in terms of expanding a major program that's going to saddle future legislators, future governors with decisions based on funding. So we have to do it right.
Does an expansion proposal come forward in this legislative session and get an up or down vote?
I certainly hope so, because I think the idea of saving it for a special session makes no sense on a lot of different levels. I mean, this is the issue we knew we have to wrestle with before we went into the session. Calling a special session is obviously more expensive to the state to begin with. I think it's something like $30,000 a day to go into a special session. This is something, again, that we knew we were going to have to deal with. The information's at our disposal. I think it's our responsibility as legislators to deal with it while we're in Little Rock for this session.
Well, I think, again, we're talking about a long-term decision that is going to have far-reaching consequences that outlive, your media career and our political careers. So I think, looking at it in a way, making sure we're making the right decision for Arkansas. Only 18 states have signed up for expansion so far. There are several states around us who haven't. So I think we have to look at it not sort of in the vacuum of just Arkansas, but looking at what's happening nationally and how does that affect what Washington will allow us to do in terms of customizing a program that fits Arkansas.
David Sanders is a Republican senator in the Arkansas legislature from Little Rock. We also heard from Warwick Sabin, a Democratic member of the Arkansas House, also from Little Rock. They talked with Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business. You can hear more from the conversation at talkbusiness.net. Support for talkbusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com.